Brad Card, one of our political analysts and all-stars and analysts, joining us, Card & Associates out of D.C. Brad, good Monday morning.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, I don't know if you know, Brad, before we talk about this presidential picture, some Trump speeches and more endorsements, including Mike Pence, of his former boss, who he was so critical of, and all the January 6th stuff. But, Brad, did you know what all this illegal immigration rhetoric and debate, and the fact that they, where do you get Interpol's number one most wanted fugitive criminal in the world? Of course, Texas, right? But did you know that you still can become an American citizen legally? Did you know that that process exists? Because I don't hear it all, but I don't hear anything about that. Do you?
You know, Jack, again, we talk about tone deafness by the administration, and it's number one, two, and three on the top three issues, in my opinion. And it is just incredibly baffling to me how the president can be so tone deaf on immigration. It just is mind boggling to me. And
well,
then it's exacerbated when we have these type of arrests. And thank God for law enforcement doing their job. I mean, it's great.
You know what I think, Brad, and it actually ties into the issue you want to touch upon, is the presidential race here, Biden Trump, is the Democrats, and the proof in the pudding was the State of the Union address where the president correctly touched upon Laken Riley's murder in Georgia, calling the dirtbag who killed her, because he is a criminal in the past. He's been convicted before, and his own family says he's nuts. So I'm not going to say alleged here. But anyway, give him a trial, hold him for life, or deport him. But the point is, the president correctly called him in that State of the Union illegal, the illegal that killed her several times. And then a couple days later, to show the tone deafness, because it comes from the left side of his own party, they were upset with him even when he spoke that night, calling this guy an illegal. He murdered a Dean's List nursing student, allegedly, but he did. They got the right guy. Calls him an illegal. They say, no, we don't like that word. We want you to use the term undocumented. So this immigration issue is the last thing Democrats want going. They want to talk about abortion rights and probably abortion rights and probably abortion rights.
Yeah, if I was the administration, I wouldn't want to talk about illegal immigration either, because they've done nothing on it. And, you know, rhetoric does matter. It matters in every campaign. And, you know, it is not unique just to Democrats. It's also Republicans. I mean, you have the one area where Donald Trump gets in trouble is his rhetoric. So both candidates are extremely vulnerable when it comes to the use of the English language and what they say. I mean, seriously, it's just it both are offensive to me, and you know where I stand on both. I just
kind of the days of JFK, Jack Kennedy.
Well, Jack, you've been involved in campaigns, and you've run for office, and I've been involved in way too many campaigns. And at the end of the day, you plot these things out, and you look at where your vulnerabilities are, and you try to put a campaign together to highlight your strengths and minimize your vulnerabilities. The Biden administration has literally done nothing on the southwest border, which is his biggest political vulnerability, and it's really biting him in the tail, and it should be. But Donald Trump, his political vulnerability are the outrageous things that he says, where, you know, Nikki Haley commented that it was chaos, you know, that you bring chaos. And it's not the policies of Donald Trump that scare people. It really isn't. It's the rhetoric.
It's his style.
The things that he says.
Bombastic.
But it goes beyond style. It goes beyond style because it also plays into action, right?
It fires up his base, but the question is still going to be
his
in this election.
His base
doesn't
need firing up, Jack.
I know.
If I'm running his campaign, I'm like, okay, look, you've won the Republican nomination. Stop. Stop your insanity. Stop scaring voters. Stop scaring moderate voters that you might be able to pick up and actually put together a great campaign. Donald Trump is winning this election. There's no question about it.
Brad, I've said this. Well, I want to come back to that. We have time here. I've said this for a while. Donald Trump's, and if you watch the Netflix documentary on the young Donald Trump, his first big real estate acquisition in New York, the hotel he finally got built, and the mentor he had, I forget his name, he was some attorney, a bad guy. If you watch that Netflix, he hasn't changed that much. His assets that got him to be elected the first time in Donald Trump are sometimes his liabilities. The same thing that makes him with his base or what hurts him, because he'll go too far, whether it's criticizing John McCain for getting captured by the North Vietnamese, and you never served, by the way. He goes too far. People know it. Or criticizing Nikki Haley because her husband's deployed an active military in Africa and not campaigning with her. But, Brad, where is this race at right now, Biden-Trump? Because it's already underway. Where is it at nationally in your mind?
Well, Donald Trump is winning this election, and he's winning it in battleground states. I mean, he's winning it in Arizona. He's winning it in Georgia. He's winning it in Michigan. He's right there in Pennsylvania. You know, he's actually up in Pennsylvania by half a point on the Real Clear Politics average. I mean, he is winning this election. And if I was advising him, let's not give voters a reason to lose this election, because we're winning it in part because Joe Biden is inept and he's been disastrous on the southwest border. So let's, and quite frankly, Jack, he's been winning it while being relatively quiet, right? He didn't participate in any debates, so he was never, you know, confronted and called to account necessarily by Republican opponents that would normally be the case in a presidential primary. He didn't debate. So he's winning it. So let's not, if I was this campaign, I would say, let's not lose this thing because of stupid things you're going to say. It's not beneficial. He can't, like, I'll tell you, I'm so offended personally by him calling the people that were punching police officers in the face, smashing windows at the United States Capitol, trashing the United States Capitol. I'm so offended that you would call those people that were being prosecuted hostages. We don't take hostages in the United States, right? We don't take it, but we allow that rhetoric to happen, and it spills over to Congress. So you have people like Elise Stefanik saying that as well, who's the Republican conference chair in charge of messaging for the conference. That's not helpful rhetoric. That's not uniting rhetoric, and that's certainly not pro-law enforcement rhetoric. And Republicans are the pro-law enforcement party, and it just undermines the message. To me, it's what? Stop that insanity. Don't be dumb and say stupid things, and win the election. I would say win the election. It is right there to be taken. It is there to win. If he acted presidential, we've heard Donald Trump say he can act presidential. I can be very presidential. I can be the most presidential. Those are the things he says. We'll do it. And if he does it, he'd win. He'd cruise to victory. And he would put easier. A lot of his detractors against him. His base is there. He doesn't need to have any fiery rhetoric to fire them up. They're already fired up.
I'm not going to debate you at this point, but I think one of the problems Joe Biden has is his base is fueled not by a love of Joe Biden or Vice President Harris. It's fueled by a dislike of Donald Trump or a fear. So in other words, Trump fires up that base because he keeps it very hot because he doesn't want any erosion. I think this election comes down to independent. But by the way, Brad, I don't know if you saw.
Right, that, Jack. But let me just interrupt you there. It does come down to independents.
No, it all
independents
does.
Independents are the ones who aren't thrilled with Donald Trump's rhetoric.
Okay. Listen, why don't we come back to one other thing, Brad. Did you know this one? This is a shocker. Are you sitting down?
Fire away.
Are you buckled up, sitting down, or seatbelt on?
Got my helmet on. Let's go.
Vladimir Putin got reelected. He cruised to a 3-day election victory. He crushed his opponents.
A squeaker.
I mean, it's not funny. It's pathetic, right? Oh, my goodness.
It's pathetic. But, you know, we live in a very volatile world.
Tell us the real politics behind Senator Schumer, the majority leader from New York, doing a 180 on Netanyahu. Sort of, we stand with Israel, we're pro-Israel. He was pro-Netanyahu after the attack on October 7th. His speech the other day, about a 40-minute speech on the floor of the Senate, calling for new elections in Israel. Is that just because the Democratic base is showing fractures that they're not supporting Biden and they're upset with Democrats because there's no ceasefire? What is that about?
Jack, we support democracies, and we should be supporting democracies. I think we've been dropping the ball in supporting Ukraine, but we don't pick leaders of countries, and we would be wrong to
So what's
that.
Fueling
and
Schumer? He's pretty calculating.
Who are we to tell the Israeli people who to elect for their representatives?
But who is shrewd? He's a pretty shrewd politician. He's a pro. What is he doing here? He knows this. Why is he? Is he trying to just appease the base that's upset?
And look, the left is questioning him, and AOC, as you mentioned, is a very powerful voice amongst Democrats, certainly amongst base, and amongst all dollar donors. And in Queens, where she represents, It is obvious that section of the city in particular has clearly gone off the deep end.
Have you seen video that's in British media, some resident filmed the trash, the illegal migrant people on the street who are not even here legally, just taken over? It just looks like the quote of the in Great Britain is AOC's district in Queens, and you mentioned there's one other part of her district. Looks like a third world country. Now, I know people on the far left are going to say that's not an inclusive term to say third world country, but you know the picture.
Well, there's been other terms for those cities countries that I won't use the derogative term, blank hole nations. But look at this is what you got. You've got ultimate insanity going on in some of our nation cities, and you've got the most liberal member of Congress.
Hey, by the way, don't go. If you've been to Portland, Oregon, you read about the state of emergency downtown. They call for defunding the police and decriminalizing everything, and they wonder why the place, you can't even go down there for a cup of coffee without getting mugged.
Yeah, they got people dropping dead all over the place, and they got a whole generation of people that are going to be non-productive citizens.
See, I think people are more commonsensical than people realize in the national media or the far. What I'm saying is I think most people live their lives. They like to have enough food to get through the week. They want to I think most people are good, like that country song. Most people are good. They want to do good. They say hello. They want to play by the rules. And they just want either to be left alone, lock their door at night, live long enough, and do some good. And then you look at some parts of this country, and you can't escape the pictures, the images. I mean, you can't escape what you just talked about in Portland. You can't escape parts of Seattle. You can't escape parts of our cities right now.
Jack, you would never accept that behavior by a member of your own family, right?
No.
I mean, truthfully, I mean, when you're raising children, you need to put boundaries on them, and you need to enforce your boundaries with children.
No, just bubble wrap.
They grow up and they become
bubble wrap. Bubble wrap, Brad. That's all you need is bubble wrap. All right, Brad, we got to run. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you.
Brad Card, live out of D.C. Michael Graham, New Hampshire Journal, nhjournal.com, one of the first to touch upon this story a while ago. I've touched upon it because it's a glaring example of hypocrisy when it comes to illegal immigration or migrants that are basically raping or killing Americans. Doesn't mean everyone coming here illegally is doing. That's not my point. Michael Graham, this case out of Boston, spilling over into New Hampshire in the governor's race. Take it away.
Well, actually, Jack, we're talking about a different case. There was another case on Friday of yet another Haitian, this one who was part of Biden's parole program, who was sent to Massachusetts, kept in Rockland, Mass., and raped another disabled 15-year-old girl. So that's two horrific incidents, and those are just the high-profile incidents. This doesn't include the other various crimes, et cetera, that send the police.
I didn't realize it was a separate case. Gee, unbelievable.
Yes, on a regular basis. Remember, Governor Healey run shelter less than a mile from the New Hampshire state line down in Methuen, the old Days Hotel and Conference Center. And so you've all the police in all these towns, so they have a surge in activity, which is not surprising. So in this case, so the first case was an illegal immigrant who had an ICE detention warrant waiting for him, as you've described. In this case, this guy is part of a 30,000 migrant a month program where the Biden administration flies people from Haiti, Venezuela, and I'm looking through the story. I can't remember the two other countries, but out of these four countries, straight into the U.S. and releases them under a parole program. This guy went straight to New York City, and he landed in New York City, came straight to Massachusetts, and ended up being arrested. And obviously, he's just arrested. He's not, declared guilty of this event. So, Governor, here we go. Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. There's the four countries. And so Governor Healey of Massachusetts, who supports sanctuary city programs and supports not deporting people for the purposes of immigration enforcement, was asked about this case. And she told Boston 25, quote, "I think we have the right systems in place. It is unfortunate that from time to time things will happen." So not exactly the kind of robust reaction, Jack, that a lot of people wanted to the rape of a 15-year-old developmentally disabled girl by a migrant sent here by Joe Biden. So this morning, Kelly Ayotte's campaign is calling on Joyce Craig to reject the endorsement she received from Governor Healey because of Governor Healey's dismissive tone. That we don't need to change anything, quote, "I think we have the right systems in place. It is unfortunate that from time to time things will happen."
Michael, I have a question. I have not seen on any of the networks. Why, with all the uproar and greater awareness in the crisis of illegal immigration in this country, particularly the southern border, is the Biden administration still flying in people here? Why are they doing that, to avoid numbers going up at the border? Why isn't the national media talking?
It's to try to stop the overflow at the border, because it looks so bad when people see.
So why are we spending taxpayer money to fly people from other countries into this country without going through the process of becoming Americans legally? Why are we doing this?
Well, someone like Senator Shaheen, Senator Hassan, Congressman Pappas, and Congressman Custer could ask the Biden administration that. Senator Maggie Hassan sits on the Homeland Security Committee on the Senate, which directly oversees this issue. But under this program, more than 138,000 Haitians have been brought to the United States. And in Massachusetts, they're spending about $116 million to house migrants. That, by the way, contract ends in June. They'll have to kick in another $100+ million. And they're spending about $64 per day per person, according to CBS, feeding these folks. So the question that people are trying to ask, we're asking also this way at nhjournal.com. And by the way, if you don't know about this story in New Hampshire, it's because nobody else in New Hampshire is covering it. The question we keep asking is, do the candidates for governor support the policies in Massachusetts that have drawn to the Bay State? And
it's a fair
question. Keep asking.
Yeah, I don't understand, because in Manchester and Concord, sometimes you see that we have a social service crisis of people who are here already, presumably Americans, whether it's through addiction, mental health. But we have a homeless situation. We have a situation. So why are we spending? We're spending $116 million in mass to bring in people from other countries. By the way, no process. They're not legal. They're coming here with some exemption, some status you're calling a parole thing.
It's called a parole program.
We can't even take care of people here. Why are we bringing? I don't get that.
Why would New Hampshire want to mimic the policies that have brought so many people to Massachusetts? Remember, Boston, as you know, it's just a 35-minute drive. Why aren't they coming to New Hampshire? Well, because in Massachusetts they're getting free food, free shelter, sanctuary city policies. And so Chuck Morse and Kelly Ayotte have made it very clear they do not support these policies, whereas Cindy Warmington and Joyce Craig simply won't answer the question. Now, for all I know, maybe they don't support the policy. I don't know, because they won't answer the question. And it's a question that they've been asked repeatedly over the past few months.
Well, keep the light on it, because that's the only way more people are going to know about it, exposing hypocrisy. Thank you, Michael.
My pleasure.
Doug Tengden, with a different kind of perspective, worldmarketadvisors.com. One of the stories I was looking at over the weekend, this should not be a shocker, because talking about inflation coming down is very deceiving, because what people really know is the prices they face every day, and it seems that income growth is not keeping up with the price of everything. That should not be a shocker for most households. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. What a glorious weekend, at least here in the Upper Valley.
Yeah, well, mild temperatures. Isn't today, J-Dog, the last full day of winter?
Well, I'll tell you, it's winter up on Mount Washington. They got 5 inches of fresh snow. They've got considerable avalanche danger. If you head up to the North Country, bring your skis, bring your snowshoes.
There you have it. All right, Doug, take it away. What's going on with income and the prices of everything?
Well, the bottom line is that incomes have gone up, but they haven't gone up as fast as prices have. The economy is relatively strong, but all of us feel like we're just running to stay in place, if not falling behind. So, people are not stupid. The reason they say that the economy isn't great for them, it may be great for everybody else, but they just don't see themselves getting ahead and being able to save like it seems like everybody else is able to. So. Whether it's the price of eggs or the price of a cup of coffee, it used to be a cup of coffee was less than $5. Now it's $7 or $8. It's not going down. If it's not going up as fast, they still feel behind.
Yeah, I'm not a big and I'm not getting involved in food wars here, but my fast food days are probably behind me for the most part, but if you'd gone to like one of the big chains for a, you know, a burger, side dish and something else, you know what the price is? I mean, it's like $12 to $15.
Yeah, you can't get out of there for less than $10.
Yeah, it used to be more likely 15.
Yeah,
it used to be like you'd go there if you had $3 or $4 in your pocket and you wanted just a plain cheeseburger, you were fine. Now it's like you could go to a pretty good restaurant. I see. I don't get it. Well, Doug, what else is catching your eye on this Monday morning?
Well, you know, along the same lines, people just feel behind the eight ball, you know, and everybody's starting to work on their taxes, and it just strikes me. At least the tax bill isn't going down, and there's always a threat of it going up. So that's the other thing to catch my eye. We will see this week. We will see the Fed have their meeting. They're not going to cut rates, but there might be some fireworks around their summary of economic projections. So look for that this week.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing is that the earliest they would even lower, and it would probably just be 0.25% a quarter. It might be June, if that.
Yeah, that's what the Fed says. Remember, the Fed is going to follow what's happening around. And I'll tell you, right now the economy seems strong, but it also seems brittle to me. It's kind of like, you know, like a paper plate. It seems like you're holding it right and everything's fine, but load too much on it and it all just collapses. It seems to me that if things fall apart, they'll fall apart quickly. And then everything the Fed said about not cutting rates, they're going to cut rates dramatically if the economy starts to fall apart.
Yeah. All right, Doug. Well, you make it a good Monday. Enjoy your last day of winter. Sorry, buddy.
I did get out and get on the skis, and it was sweet.
All right. Mild, too. All right. Thank you, Doug Tangdon, World Market Advisors.
Yeah, have a great week.
Dr. Vikram Mancharamani, host of Navigating Uncertainty, also his latest book, The Generalist. Great cover shot on that. I keep saying that. Dr. Vic, how are you on this Monday morning?
I'm great, Jack. Good morning. How are you?
Good. You have a bunch of stuff on your list. Everything from a settlement of the National Association of Realtors on a big settlement around commissions. Take it away, Vic.
Yeah, you know, Jack, so this I mentioned it on Friday when I was helping you out here, hosting for a little bit. It was just breaking news, and I spent a little time on the weekend trying to understand this. Turns out it started with a lawsuit in Missouri or someplace where a bunch of people said, hey, these real estate agents are charging too much, 6%. It's a little too much. I don't know why they get paid this much, and none of us have a choice. Well, it turns out that suit has just settled. There was this big settlement, a ruling last year, $1 billion-plus settlement. Anyway, the National Association of Realtors has agreed that they will no longer dictate the commission offered to a buyer's agent. Now, this sounds pretty small, but it will likely reduce commissions for anyone in the home buying or home selling business significantly. And I think this is meaningful because I think it's going to change the nature of how we all buy and sell real estate, homes. So the days of 5% and 6% commissions, I think, are gone. I started looking to see what commissions are around the world. In the UK, it's a little bit over 1% that people pay. You know, in many other countries, Denmark, Netherlands, it's like 2-2.5%.
Interesting.
So this idea of us paying 6%, I think that's done. And that means big shrinkage in the real estate industry, but also probably better economics for those of us that buy and sell homes.
Well, Dr. Vic, I don't want to get into this discussion now. I want to touch upon a few other things, but I know more and more people. In fact, it's ironic you had this as a talking point this morning, who said in the last two or three home transactions they've had, they went realtor free. They hired a local attorney, all the things were filed, and they saved that $35,000 to $40,000 that they would have had to pay. So it's interesting. Let's switch gears.
Yeah.
Just the first hour, we're talking more about this case out of Massachusetts. So much focus on illegal migration here. Illegal. No one talks about I posted this earlier. Do you know, this might be a shocker to some people. Two shocking news stories. You ready, Dr. Vic? If you're sitting down, buckle up. Two shockers. You ready?
Yeah,
you ready?
Go ahead.
Are you sure you're ready?
I'm ready.
It's Monday. I don't want to rattle your blood pressure too much. Vladimir Putin cruise to re-election in Russia. Shocker, right? Shocker. The other one is you still, if you live in another country and you want to come here, you still can become an American legally. Did you know that?
I did know that. Yes, I've got former students of mine who finally got green cards that are now waiting in line to get their visas turned into, or their green cards turned into citizenship papers. They want to be naturalized. I've got, obviously, my parents were naturalized. You know, I've got lots of friends who have done it legally, and, you know, they're super proud to be Americans. So, yes, I know what happens.
Well, it's sort of interesting, you know. Dr. Vic, go ahead.
But, Jack, hang on a second. One thing that's important, and I think this is part of the solution, we need to fix the legal immigration system as well as close the border. So, you know, the way I said this during my campaign is tall wall, i.e. secure border, but a wide gate, meaning there should be a process where people who want to come in here, play by the rules, follow the laws, and work hard should get the ability to become American citizens. Okay, it can take some time. You got to be on some sort of effectively probationary
period. Can I ask you a question, though, Dr. Vic? I have to ask you. Yeah. I have to cut you off. If you come here legally, like your parents did, do you get free housing and a debit card?
No, you don't. It's horrifying, Jack. Listen, when it starts hitting, you know, I think I was in Boston when it happened. You know, they took that community center away from the families in Dorchester to provide for housing. That's where, you know, hold on a sec. What are we doing? These tax receipts, they should be for American citizens first. And,
I don't know.
You know, look, we want to be compassionate. We want to take care of those who are in need.
Okay,
whoa,
I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop you again.
But we got internal Americans who are falling on hard times that are citizens.
No kidding. You just ended with what I was going to ask you. Yeah, we want to be compassionate. Why don't we take care of the people already here?
Of course. That's my point.
Dr. Vic, do you know that the number one suspect in the world criminally, number one, like Scotty Scheffler, one of the players yesterday in golf, he's the number one golfer, the number one bad guy in the world, the number one criminal on Interpol's list from Bogota. Guess where? He was picked up in Texas the other day. He was here to do some good, I'm sure, right?
Yes, Jack, people are just coming here for the good weather, right? That's it.
Wow.
No, of course. Look, there are definitely, when you don't have a secure border, you don't really even know who's coming in. You're talking about criminals we know have come in. How many do we not know about?
You know, I'm looking at this Biden-Trump matchup that's already started. And I think that's, I don't know if you agree with me, Jill Biden, after 2 years, amazingly, we have back-to-back trips from the Bidens to New Hampshire. What's that about? Do you think that has anything to do with the election? Hey, let me ask you.
Yeah.
I think Democrats running here locally and nationally want to talk about three issues this fall. Three issues. You know what they are?
They're going to talk about abortion. They're going to talk about the economy because they think it's going well, even though no American feels that way. And I don't know, the third issue, pick it, Ukraine, Israel, something. I don't know.
No, kind of. You're the professor, not me. You're the professor with all those degrees and books. No, not
former.
Me.
Former professor.
You got one of them right. There's three things they want to talk about this fall. Three. Number one, abortion rights. Number two, abortion rights. And number three, abortion rights. Those are the three issues they want to run on. They don't want to talk about illegal immigration. They don't want to talk about people's income not keeping up with price. Abortion rights. I have a weird feeling. Crime in our cities, lawlessness in places like Portland, the illegal immigration crisis, which continues at the southern border, I actually think that's going to be a bigger issue than a lot of people realize this fall.
I think it's the number one issue, Jack. Immigration, the border, it relates to crime. It relates to some of the fentanyl issues. It relates to a lot. I think this is, at some level, the Uber issue, right? It touches on almost everything. The economy, our debt levels, when you have a deficit and you're spending money on things. I think I heard it was $387 a day being spent on migrant care. I think that was a New York number. I mean, that's $10,000 a month.
Yeah, it's like under 100. Well, you know what? Pictures say 1,000 words. Dr. Vic, podcast, Navigating Uncertainty, the book, The Generalist, regular contributor, Dr. Vic. Thank you. Make it a good Monday.
Great, Jack. Thanks.
Good Morning, New Hampshire, powered by Sig Sauer. Now, back to Jack Heath on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
All right, welcome back. Aaron Rial, NBC News Radio national correspondent, joining us. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Do you have a good weekend and good last day of winter today?
Oh, I'm so happy it's the last day of winter. I'm ready for it. But, yes, we had a great weekend. The kids and I, we all went to the circus.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad they still have that in this politically inclusive time, the circus. Good. That's good.
Yeah, I do have to be honest, though. It was kind of a bummer without the elephants. I was a little, like, I didn't want to tell the kids. I was like, this used to be better, but it did.
can you say, you know, you're clowning around today? Does that offend anyone? No, I'm just in a mood. I let it go. What do we have for us?
Buzzing, buzzing.
All right, well, being at Stanford, I don't think you can say clowning around. Oh, offensive. Already, what do you have this morning, Aaron?
So we are talking about college majors that pay you the most and the least. And what we know is if you want to get paid after college, go be an engineer. That's what's going to get you paid. The top 10 highest paid jobs, all in engineering, leading with computer engineers, followed by chemical, aerospace, yep, electrical, industrial. It rounds out the top 10 with finance, but they're all going to pay you above $70,000. Computer engineers are going to make $80,000. And then even better, by mid-career, you're going to be making six figures. This is where the money is. And also STEM jobs, science, tech, engineering, math, they're all expected to grow twice as fast as non-STEM jobs through 2031.
Yeah, I was blessed in when I went to college, University of Vermont, living in a fraternity house, which I think there's a few still exist, and we had a great one. The brothers of my buddies who spent the time in the library, like serious time in the library most days of the week, were engineering, all kinds, electrical, mechanical, or pre-med. The rest of us were, why do you always go to the library?
Yeah, well, you got to be there. There's a lot to take in, but know it will pay dividends on the other end, that's for sure. And no, it won't. This is kind of a bummer, but the lowest paying majors, they tend to be liberal arts and education. The education is a very sad one.
Yeah. You know, well, the one thing they should be listing is trades. I mean, I'm telling you right now, yep, we have our friends coming in a little bit later on from Lakes Region Community College, and you want to become a multimillionaire, become an HVAC owner, or a plumber, or a trade, you know, build homes. The other thing, too, is entrepreneurs. It's funny how they don't officially teach an entrepreneur class. Aaron Rial, NBC News Radio National Correspondent, want to thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Rory O'Neill, NBC News Radio national correspondent, joining us. Rory, by the way, I noticed Florida's legislature has passed an anti-squatting law for squatters, so I hope that passes because it's so commonsensical. I just couldn't believe how people can move into someone's home, live there for a year, break into it, and then the rightful legal property owner, the homeowner, takes a year to get them through civil court to get out of the house they broke into. So good going, Florida. What else do you have for us?
Yeah, it is something, though, where they're playing catch-up, which is remarkable. But states across the country are way behind on giving squatters too many rights. But the other thing I've been following is this gross manipulation of President Trump's use of the word bloodbath on Saturday. And everyone is just setting their hair on fire after the president was speaking about the auto industry and how China was investing in a Mexican auto plant for EVs, with plans to sell those cars cheaply in the U.S. And the former president said he would slap a 100% tariff on those vehicles and that if you weren't elected, it would be a bloodbath. We believe he meant for the auto industry, not more specifically. Yeah. But forget about it. The liberal media are on a tear.
Well, again, Brad Carr was on earlier. Both sides, some of the things they say in speeches, it's amazing. You're usually, especially when you're running for president again, everything should be carefully scripted, but we know that's not the case. All right, Rory, on this Monday, last day of winter, but you sit in Florida year-round, so I don't think that matters to you.
I don't know why the Bidens are going to go to New Hampshire in March. There are much nicer months to be there. I would have been there last October. March is, you know, it's rough.
They stayed. They boycotted New Hampshire for 2 years. Boy, they're back here a lot. All of a sudden, I'll tell you, Rory, not to get into the election or re-election.
Sure.
If they're even remotely that worried about New Hampshire's four electoral college votes in a state that Biden should win by 10 or 12, if they're even remotely that worried with independents here, that spells it could be a very interesting November.
Somebody there is writing a check with a whole lot of zeros.
No, I don't think it's that. In all due respect, seriously,
no, I agree. That would be my only other logical thought behind it.
No, New Hampshire. I mean, it's happened before. This thing, you know, it's really. I'm not saying you and I are students of electoral college history and what really just settles elections, but typically, New Hampshire is a state that the Biden reelection team wouldn't even be thinking about, wouldn't even be worried about. So it's interesting because it could be that close. We'll see it. But anyway, thank you, Rory.
Thanks, Jack.
Katie Sweet has been on before. She's the marketing and public relations manager for a place that I'm a big fan of, Lakes Region Community College and the campus there. I think the last time Katie was in We had a wonderful young culinary superstar who was going there, and they was talking about the culinary program. But also, I think we have the president, Patrick Kate, is the interim president of Lakes Region Community College in our studios, talking about, and it's interesting, J-Dog, earlier, Aaron Rial, NBC News Radio national correspondent, was on talking about some of the top college degrees and what they pay. And her basic line was, or storyline was, engineering and some of the engineering degrees in particular. But what about entrepreneurs and all the great stuff that we're seeing and people like in the trades and building and all the wonderful programs? I'm a huge fan of our community college system, and I want to bring in Patrick or Pat, Kate, and Katie. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us on.
Well, I don't know if I've had you on before, and if I have, please forgive me, sir. Tell us a little bit about your background, serving now as president there, a little bit of how you came to it and what you think. I'm sure you're biased like me, but why you love the Lakes Region Community College and the system there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in New Hampshire my whole life, working in higher education at USNH, and I've been with CCSNH at Lakes Region now for almost 6 years, and I love what we do. It's what you just talked about. You know, our students come out without a whole lot of debt, if any at all, and they have really great jobs out there serving our communities. And most of our graduates stay in New Hampshire. And so it's a really great thing for the state of New Hampshire, our community college system, because it really supplies that increased workforce needs that we all know we're going to need.
And Katie, correct me if I'm wrong, the culinary student you brought in, he had a line that I remember when I asked him how he came to the college and wanted to go into culinary stuff and hospitality. I think he said he visited and he just wanted to do something with his hands. And he went into your professional kitchen there, and you were having a big thing that weekend. He was just talking about how he just wanted to cook and create food for people. And it was a very powerful statement.
Right. Yep. That was Graham Jakes. And he is one of our star culinarians still, who actually is getting his culinary degree, graduating in May, but he's coming back to get his business degree as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he'll leave us in less than two, I think just 2.5 years, and have 2 degrees under his belt.
Think about that. Maybe, Pat, you can elaborate on that. He's probably not, he may be a great example, but I'm sure there are other students, you know, looking at similar paths.
Well, I think that's the trick that we want to, you know, get out there a little bit. Graham is doing a great job, and there's about, another 100 of them that we can probably talk about. They come, they don't spend a lot of money. They can, you know, go right into the workforce. Most of them have a job while they're here, because the employers are really looking for our students. And then when they leave, they have the opportunity to transfer and save a whole lot of money. Less than half of our students who graduate have any debt at all. So, from the national conversation, that's out of the norm. And so, you know, what we offer is, it's just great. I joke with people, my favorite day is commencement, because it's the day you see for a lot of our students, a family tree change. You know, this is an opportunity that they may not have had before. And now they're getting out there making really good money, to be very frank with you, in those fields that you talked about.
I want to come back and talk about the numerous fields and what you're seeing at commencement and who those students are. But, you know, Pat, I think the overall president now of the community college system was, I believe, up in the White Mountain system, you know, up in Littleton, correct?
Oh, yeah. The former president of White Mountain Community College is now our associate chancellor, vice chancellor, excuse me. Yep.
Huge fan of his. And I probably wouldn't fit into the board of the overall university system, because I'd be a little bit of a maverick. I happen to think that our community colleges, because one of our kids went through and ended up at Plymouth, but started in Concord at the NHTI with J-Dog. You're going to be volunteering this weekend to help the folks over there. And that's a wonderful campus with special education. But I think for our state and nationally, I think the community college system should be the most promoted thing. And I'm a big fan of UNH, I'm a big fan of Plymouth, Keene, I get it. But you know what? I think that what we're seeing, this is where it's happening. So talk a little bit, Pat and Katie, about the programs beyond culinary, entrepreneurial stuff. Tell us about the different courses, what some of the more popular ones are.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of pickup in our more technical programs. So, for example, our automotive program works with Toyota and GM, and those folks come out certified in those areas, and they actually start with a job. So our degree starts with a job. They do 12 weeks in our classrooms and in our labs to learn the best they can, and then they do 12 weeks out with an employer at a dealership. And it's really a great co-op program that allows both the really hard academic learning of automotive, but also then into the trenches, so to speak, there out serving the customers in the dealerships. And if you think, you know, when you hear automotive, if you're thinking fixing a carburetor, you know, these guys are learning how to use LIDAR systems and everything else. This is it's a high technical field, and we train professionals, not mechanics.
Right.
And so you know, we see it in automotive. We see it in our fire science program. We have a new paramedic program that.
What's the fire science?
So fire science is a lot of, if you look down for an alumni, a lot of the fire chiefs in New Hampshire made their way through Lakes Region Community College. We're the only program in fire science for the 2-year program. And that is for our aspiring firefighters and fire professionals that go out into the field. We partner up with the local fire training academy at the state, and they come out certified, and then they come out with a level of knowledge that allows them to progress through their career and really lead the departments they go into.
I was unaware, and ironically last week, Mr. President, we had on President Green of the New Hampshire Firefighters Association was on the show talking about firefighting as a career. Keep going. I just want to spend time. Tell us more about the programs.
Yeah, so you get fire science, then you have the paramedic program that we were able to get a grant. So the cost of entry, it's about $4,500 in 1 year, and you're out with your paramedic cert. Pretty intensive program. We've got electrical. And electrical is one of those programs that while you're in your labs count towards your certification and your licenses. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just classroom learning, it's applied and it matters to your license after. I think that's the message that I hope people can hear about community college, because obviously, Jack, I'm biased as well for the community college system. But, you know, we have a big debate talking about is higher education, do you go to college, do you go to trade school? And what's awesome about community college and specifically New Hampshire is you don't have to make that choice. You can have both. You can get a really great quality education and learn a trade at the same time, so that if you want to advance later in your career, you have that opportunity, but you're also getting a solid amount of hands-on training for any one of those programs. So, you know, nursing on those types of ideas. We have business programs that help train mm-hmm. people in, you know, anywhere from marketing to accounting. And so all of those degrees allow somebody to keep moving forward.
You're listening to the interim president, although I think the interim won't be there that long. Pat Caton and the folks, Katie, with Lakes Region Community College. Talk about, you mentioned inauguration. I mean, the election next year. Talk about graduation day. Tell us sort of the walks of life. We met that one student, the culinary, but ages, stages in life. Tell us about why that's such a memorable day for you both.
For me, I see some of the families that some of them didn't have a great experience in education in K through 12. And this is the first time they have built a confidence that they could do it. And their parents get to see that, and their grandparents get to see that, and their kids get to see that. You know, we serve that adult population real well, we're built for it. So those folks are able to get all of the services, and then they walk across that aisle and get that education. I think last year, the oldest recipient was 68, mm-hmm. I think. And we have the youngest who will be just finishing her, this coming one, we'll have somebody who completed her associate's degree program, and she'll get her associate's the day after she gets her high school diploma.
And she's 16 years old.
And
she's
a homeschool
student.
So
amazing.
Great opportunity for her. She's gonna talk about a jump start. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, Katie and Pat, Lakes Region Community College, we J-Dog in our state police segment recently, I forget which barracks or troop, but we had a trooper on who sort of came to the state police. He was a home builder actually later in life and loves his career in public service as a state trooper. But you mentioned that EMT course, for example. You know, you could be a person, you know, in your early 40s, because we know that's a lot younger today, and change, go to Queen Community College, get through that EMT course and change your life with a career. So Katie, maybe you could take a moment. I don't want to rush this. I pray and thank you both for coming in. And, of course, we're blanketing the Lakes Region with our network of News Talk stations. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the Careers Pathway event, which I believe is coming up April 10th. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this event we're really excited about. It's our Career Pathways event, and the focus is business, culinary, and hospitality. That's going to be on April 10th from 8:30 to 12. We're going to have high schools visiting, as well as any adult learner who wants a new career or wants to upskill and get into these careers. We're going to have a career expo with over 20 businesses.
Awesome.
Hiring and just looking to, you know, recruit professionals. We're also going to have two panels of experts talking. One group of culinary professionals and one group of business professionals, just kind of answering everyone's questions and talking about, you know, their own stories and their journeys within the industries. So we're really excited about that. And then the day after, we have our open house and express admissions event, April 11th from 4:30 to 6. And that's your chance to meet our faculty, take a tour, and apply on the spot.
Now tell us the who, what, when, where of these 2 days, as well as the campus a little bit, you know, the website. And if is this open to the public, Katie, in April?
Yes, both of these events, we're urging the public to attend. You can find out more at lrcc.edu.
And Pat, just tell us a little bit where exactly you are, how big can come. You mentioned just the second day there, Katie, people just coming to meet the professors, the teachers, the faculty, and the campus. Tell us a little about physically where you're at in the Lakes region.
Yeah, so we're right on Belmont Road, and the old title of it was the Tech on the Hill. So we're up the hill from downtown Laconia, right off the bypass. So you can come up there, and we're right off that bypass in the first exit there. And so the campus has 4 buildings. And as I've been telling people, if you haven't been to a community college in the last 5 years, you haven't been. And so even if you're not interested necessarily in taking classes right now, or you just want to know what kind of a community resource is there, you know, come on and see us. We want to show you what we have. Every time I've taken somebody on a tour, they leave and go, oh, my God, I had no idea what's here. And so from state-of-the-art labs to classrooms that are set up for hybrid to faculty that do this because they care about not only the fields in which they work, but also the people that want to get into them. And just come check it out. It's a community resource. And so any of the community colleges across the state, go check them out. I think you may be surprised.
Yeah, and as I said, I'm only familiar with a couple of them. I know Great Bay over in Pease, in Portsmouth. Yes. NHTI, J-Dog, you got that event Saturday, White Mountain Community College you mentioned, and you're in the Lakes region, and out west, we have one in the western part of the state, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we have River Valley Community College. They have some really great, you know, healthcare programs and pre-healthcare right now that, you know, again, for relatively inexpensive money, you can come out with a career that's going to give you a lifelong lifeline, really.
And we might ask you to stick around. We need to sneak in a break. Before we let you go, Pat and Katie with Lakes Region, roughly, and I'm not saying you should have this number in front of you, but just roughly, part of full-time students, how many students do you touch Lakes Region in a year studying roughly? I mean, how, you know, on and off, you know, whether it's in person or how many roughly students are you seeing a year come through?
Yeah, roughly when you add everybody up who's taken part-time or online, we're right up between 1,200 and 1,500 students.
Awesome. In our studios, great friends and folks from the Lakes Region Community College in Laconia. We have the interim president, Pat Kate and Katie. And I wanted to maybe come back and thank you for coming into the studio this morning, talking about our great, great, tremendous, wonderful, I can't say enough, community college system here, serving so many students and families of all ages, of all walks of life. Maybe, Katie, you can talk a little bit on the marketing side again of what's coming up in April, the who, what, when, where. I think it's the 10th and the 11th.
Yes. On the 10th, we have our Career Expo, Business Culinary Hospitality. That's from 8:30 to noon. We have our open house and express admissions event the very next day, April 11th, from 4:30 to 6. And I also wanted to tag on 2 more events. We're doing an early college info session for homeschool families only. It's our first one. That's going to be April 19th at 10:30 at one of our sister colleges, NHTI in Concord. And you can register for that at lrcc.edu. And we also have, this is like my favorite one, which is our Festival on the Hill event. It's our second annual. This year, we're going to be celebrating 50 years of fire science, which is amazing.
Yeah,
and we're going to have the Eric Grant Band there. And that's on May 9th from 4 to 7.
Awesome. Pat, the interim president, Pat Kate, maybe, Pat, you could take a moment. You mentioned earlier you're proud on graduation day to see so many students get their diplomas and go into a career, some of the best paying jobs in our market, and pretty much be, for the most part, debt-free from the college side. Can you walk us through a little bit of the economics? As I'm not aware, it's been a while since one of our kids was in one of the great programs for special education at NHTI before Plymouth State University. So I remember college, you know, annual books, room, board, the whole thing, but it's a blur, thank goodness. Can you walk us through the economics a little bit of a community college part of full-time experience?
Sure, yeah. I think that's one of the differences, that if you're only exposed to more of the traditional four-year model, is that you actually pay per class or per credit. And so whatever you do, it's up to you and your finances and then, so your whole, the whole picture can be taken in. If you're a full-time student, it's going to be about $7,200 all in. To be able to come
and in a year, taken, not a semester.
Yeah, that's so. That's about that'd be a year. That's about the same level that a lot of federal grant money comes in as. And so a lot of our students can come if they have some financial challenges and they want to be able to lift themselves up. They probably have a lot of that covered. Most of our students do use financial aid, and a lot of it is covered by grants and other scholarship money that we can find. And so that's what I usually will tell folks, is that there's a price there, but come work with our financial aid folks. We're going to be able to get that because, you know, our goal is to make loans the last option, and let's see what else we can do for you. So that way, when you leave here, you're not trying to pay off that enormous debt that you said you forgot, which is okay.
Well, now, I imagine more than half your students are probably day commuters.
Yeah, we have that. We also have a lot of online students, and we actually have the early college that she was talking about with the homeschool families. You know, those, we have a lot of students who are either homeschooling and they want to be able to take a chemistry class with a lab, and so they'll come in and supplement some of that and get college credit for it as well. Also in our high schools, they'll do these dual enrollment credits that we work with the high school instructor to make sure that the curriculum is of quality and they're teaching it in the right way that matches credit, and they get credits for both. And that's only $150 for the class, and the governor has signed in that everybody gets two free anyway. So there's a lot of opportunity there to make sure you can cut down the cost of education.
Now, Katie mentioned a 16-year-old earlier taking a course. Is this pretty much age-free on restrictions, like you can't be too young or too old to go to a community college and sign up for a course?
I hate to say too young, because then I'm going to have the 9-year-old that wants to play.
If someone's 78 years old and they want to take a course to learn something, they're not prohibited, like, you know, you have to be under 50.
No. This is for everybody. We're open access. And so even when you apply, it's not whether we'll take you or not. It's we want to know about you so that we can support you when you get in there. It's open access.
I think it's awesome. And that fire science course, I was unaware that you had that kind of there as a unique course if you want to become a firefighter. Well, I appreciate it very much, Pat. I wish you the best. And how many years again in the college system for you?
So I've had 6 in CCSNH, and I was at USNH system for 18.
You know, when you look out a little bit, do you have certain programs that when you for your planning, because I imagine your administrators, you have to plan if this program you mentioned, like the auto science course or the high tech for autos working with Toyota, if you have like a surging growth there, you know, degree program popularity, you probably have to, you know, resource and plan for professors to, you know, do you have some disciplines and majors that are just, you know, growing, and what are the trends? What are you seeing?
Sure. So I would say when we see the growth, is anything healthcare right now, when we look at the demographics in New Hampshire and what we're going to be experiencing in 5 or 10 years, the need is there. And so employers are working with us as hard as we possibly can. So if you're thinking anything in healthcare, whether it be a nurse, every community college has that, or if you're thinking respiratory therapy or occupational therapy, you name it, one of our community colleges has a program that's going to get you into that medical field that's going to be in high demand. For us, we know that in the Lakes region, it is manufacturing, and they're looking for folks left and right. And so we've reinvested. So not only do we have some, you know, CNC machines and things to train on that, but we also have a robotics program, because automation and robotics, it's going to take folks to be able to make that work for our employers. And we've started that program up, and looking forward to work with students there.
Now, we didn't even touch upon this before I let you go, and our friends from Lakes Region Community College, and Katie, maybe before you leave, give one more time the website or follow-up information. But, Pat, as interim president or president, if I'm listening, I'm just thinking, putting myself in someone else's seat. Maybe I'm just, you know, a hair older than the students, if you will. But if I'm listening and I'm a doctor, because I know that in the VA, I do a lot of support for veterans, and we have the VA on. I know sometimes doctors thought they were done, but they came to the VA to continue working to give back and support veterans. So if I'm listening and hypothetically say I'm a medical professional, my career's winding down, but I love it and I want to teach, are you looking for part-time professors out there? And I don't know the requirements, but say you mentioned the automobile. Say there's an automobile dealer owner and they've had dealerships and they want to come in and maybe speak or teach, or pilots or machinist or doctor.
Yeah,
and they say, you know, I'm a medical professional. I've been a doctor. I'm done doctoring, if you will, but I'd love to come teach young people that want to become a nurse.
Yeah, that is always a need for us, because it's not just the classes that we offer that lead to a degree. We also do short-term trainings and more workforce development training. So if somebody wants to come in and, hey, I need to teach this one skill set, we have folks that come in that are HVAC technicians that train on the heat pumps, because we know those are going into new homes much quicker, and that's a two-day training. So there's lots of opportunity for us to offer education to our community, and those folks who want to continue that pathway, just come and see any one of our community colleges.
Awesome.
or
so you're open. You're open to that.
Very much so.
Because
absolutely.
I think you're going to get a lot of people resettling, moving to the Lakes region. They might be, you know, as I said earlier, someone who's 58 or 60, they're not that old anymore, if you will, and they might be winding down in one career, and they might have a lot to offer, and they don't want to just maybe 10 hours a week, 30 hours a month. How can I go, you know, give back a little bit? And, you know, the pay, it matters, but it doesn't. You know, they kind of want to stay busy is what I'm saying.
Yeah, or even just tutor somebody. You know, we have a lot of our nursing students who are really great at that aspect of care for our, but need a little extra help in anatomy, physiology, for example. So there's always an opportunity to make sure that somebody can give back. You know, as a community college, it's not just serving the community, but the community comes in with us too. So we would appreciate hearing about all of that. Right on our websites, you'll find the employment listings if you're looking for an adjunct job. But, you know, stop in, talk to folks,
awesome.
Let them know you're available.
Well, you're a great ambassador, if you will, as president there. And Katie, before we let you go, our friends at Lakes Ridge Community College in April, our website, to just follow up information on any, all of the above. What's the best way to Katie?
Yes, so you can connect with us at lrcc.edu.
All right, easy. One more time?
lrcc.edu.
All right, thank you both for coming in. Safe travel back to Laconia. Good stuff in April. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All righty, thank you, Jack.
Tom Raffin, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, Delta Dental Radio on the weekends, and, of course, author of books, plural, including Stories from the Starting Line, with some good news Monday. Tom, good morning.
Absolutely great news. Well, first of all, we had a great weekend of racing on Saturday. It was the Rubik's Cube 5K out of here at Delta Dental, and funds raised went to the math teams for Hopkinton High School and Bishop Brady High School. And essentially, we ran the 5K course, and while you were doing that, if you could solve the Rubik's Cube, or at least one side of it, you could get 1 minute shaved off your time. So since I run like a turtle now, it was worth my effort to get one side completed when I finished. So they shaved a minute off my time. But more importantly, funds raised for the math teams, both at Hopkinton High School and Bishop Brady. And then Sunday, we had the race that the Delta Dental Health sponsor through the Millennium Series called the Eastern States 20. So it was a combination of a 20-mile and a half marathon. My wife, Ellen, ran the 20. I did a half marathon relay. So I basically did that so I didn't hold her up. So the signature charity for the Millennium Series is Special Olympics. So every race, someone from Special Olympics is there, and it's quite moving, actually. And as far as Jay, I mean, I think that's awesome. We're a big supporter of the Granite State Independent Living, and I stress that independent living. They really, we've chatted with them, and we have a board member on that works for us that's on their board. They really stress that what they're trying to do is the independent part of it. So Jay, don't forget to emphasize independent when you do your announcements. And then Friday night, I will talk about it when I call in on Friday, but I have a group of Medicaid members coming in Friday night here at Delta Dental just to kind of do like a informal focus group, because it's hard to believe, Jack, but it's actually 1 year is coming up for the New Hampshire Medicaid program. And then for my veterans friend, I just got a call today, as a matter of fact. One thing that's been really interesting, Jack, now that we've gotten the word out, that you have these seven sort of buckets of opportunity, you know, maybe the VA, maybe Medicaid, and if you don't fall into those two buckets, then you can use the Delta Dental program. This gentleman had it down pat. He said, well, I'm not eligible for the VA because, you know, I'm not fully disabled, et cetera. And then I hooked him up with Mitch, and we're going to take care of him because he was in quite a bit of oral health pain. So we're investing $300,000 in the program this year in New Hampshire, and $300,000 in Maine, and $100,000 in Vermont. And I credit you, Jack. One, I can get the word out. It's amazing. after every time I chat with you, that's when I get my calls. So you definitely have a following. And also you pointed out the glitch in the VA system on, as far as oral health about 7 or 8 years ago. So thanks for educating me, Jack. Thanks for all you do, and we'll talk Friday.
And you know, it's interesting real quickly, Tom. We had Representative Pappas on the show at the end of the week, and I raised this, and I talked about what you've been doing, understanding it's a congressional glitch. He's very much aware of this glitch on the oral health side, and I'm like, how do we get this passed? And, you know, he explained it's always complicated, but it can be done, and we need to keep pressure on it to try and get it done.
Yeah, we got to keep it on the radar screen, but it's going to be a while. So, I like we've talked before, between now and then, you know, Delta Dental will continue to be the safety net. And yes, I do agree. Our congressional delegation knows it, and it's kind of a complex issue because the VA's not necessarily staffed. They don't necessarily have enough dentists. If all of a sudden they were seeing more, so it's a complex issue. But I'm not going to wait for the governmental solution, as we've talked before. So. Thanks, Jack.
Good stuff. Thank you,
Take
Tom.
Care. Thanks. Bye-bye.